For those of you that don't know me, I'm the spoken word portion of the show, or one of them. This was resurrected from an old journal, rather silly. I used to be on the radio, and I used to write tongue twisters and shit like that for myself, so this is called Nighty Night. I'm going to start a movement to spell night like kite. Right now, night is spelled like right, right? Well, to put things aright, we're talking about the wrong right. I'm talking about a right. We spell night with a K like kite, but I got uptight seeing that K when I say night. Now, if we spelled night right, it'd be like kite or right, so there'd be no need to fight over which might be right. So starting tonight, write night like kite, and I'll tell you, my brother, things will be all right. And another resurrected from the radio dung heap. You'll like this one because it's sort of Alan Watts-ish. It grew out of an idea that, well, do you know the concept of karma? Well, if it's a cosmic accounting system that you know, tally up the accounts when you die, there has to be a bank somewhere for it, right? Okay, this is called the first cosmic bank. Friends, do you worry about the next life? What's going to happen to you when you cash in all that bad karma you've accumulated? Are you going to come back as a cockroach or another Buddha? Well, the First Cosmic Bank has the plan for you. Instead of a bummer of a new life, use our new instant karma plan. Yes, now when you do something wrong, your bad karma is reflected on you immediately instead of in a few thousand years. With instant karma, you can smash a spider and stub your toe all at once, automatically dissipating all that bad karma that might literally make an ass of you in the next life. So come on, all you free-loving potential Buddhas, join First Cosmic Bank's new instant karma plan. See if you won't attain enlightenment fast. That's the First Cosmic Bank, the bank that likes to say, Om. Now, that last line, if you're in Honolulu in the early 70s, one of the banks there was called the First Hawaiian Bank. And their tagline and their commercial is always, the bank that likes to say yes. So that was a direct parody of that shit. Okay, and now it's time for a thought bubble. This is called Acts of God. And it's kind of deceptive because it's a story within a story. Settle down now, children. Here's the story from the book of David called The Parable of the Bent Cross. In the land east of Eden, Minnesota, that is, between the two rivers called the Big Miami and the Little Miami, in the name of St. Gertrude, there is once built a church. Here next to it was also built a fine parochial school. The congregation made sure that they both thrived, and after a multitude of years, a new, bigger church was erected, well-made with clean, straight lines and a high steeple topped with a thin, tall cross of gold. The faithful felt proud of their church, but now very low was their money. Their Sunday offerings and school fees did not suffice. Anon, they decided to raise money in an unclean way. One fine summer day, their faithful erected tents in the chariot lot between the two buildings. In the tents, they set up all manner of games, ring toss, bingo, little mechanical racing horses, and roulette wheels. And then all who lived in the land between the two rivers were beckoned to come hither with their money and play. And play they did. And in the afternoon of the first day, God looked down through the church's tents, for no mere weaving of man can hold out his glare. And he saw that the people were gambling in his name. God does not play dice, he said. And the vibrations of his words became a twirling in the clouds, and the twirling became a twisting, a dark coalescence. Soon, it became a howling funnel of wind. The people in the tents heard the whirlwind's approach, and they abandoned their games and made haste to safety, crying out for mercy. Like a huge saber guided with strange surgical precision, God's wind cut an arc between the church and the school. Everything left in the tents was taken up into the heavens to be sown lightly over the face of the land. Soon thereafter, God's stormy anger subsided, and his wrathful winds moved away. The people of St. Gertrude crept out of hiding to look over what God hath wrought. The congregation had been spared. They felt joy upon seeing that their school was also spared, and yea, verily, even their beautiful church was still standing. The last breath of wind departed, and God's light broke through to the clouds and to reveal his wind's last work. Atop the steeple, the thin golden cross was now bent, crooked. The faithful knew it was a sign, but they quaked when they thought what the terrible sign meant. Here ends the reading of the lesson. So, did you enjoy the story, kids? Guess what? It's all true.
So the cross is
crooked. Shut up! Don't interrupt. The story is all true, at least in the important points. God didn't say that about playing dice. That was Albert Einstein. And the part about the sun breaking through right on cue is a bit of a stretch, but it was sunny the next day in August of 1969 when I saw St. Gertrude's bent cross. Yes, the tornado did appear on the very weekend that they were having their annual fundraiser in the parking lot. Yes, they were gambling, and the funnel did cut right through between the church and the school, leaving the buildings pretty much intact, except for the cross. Seemingly, the bent cross would be exactly the kind of sign that they had sinned and must repent, but that was too heavy to live with. No, in the end, they went ahead and repaired the cross and ignored those events. But don't you think in an earlier age that that story would have made the late edition of the Bible? It's a certainty. So, if you were the scribe, what would you have reported? Was it a miracle that everyone was spared? Or was it a sign that gambling is a sin never to be repeated, lest the winds come again? The sanctimonious love to cast calamities as divine retributions for our sins. And this year, we've absorbed so much windy punishment from Harvey, Irma, Maria, and now Nate, pummeling the wicked and the righteous alike. Property damage has added up to figures normally used for astronomy, but at least our casualties were amazingly low considering the power of those storms. Now, certainly we all have our share of sins, but the question remains, was it really God's wrath? At least now we know more than the ancients, that in truth we're living on a watery planet in space. We travel around the sun, a nuclear furnace so powerful that even 93 million miles away, its light hits the planet with the force of several H-bombs each day. Fortunately, this force is spread out lightly over the planet, so it doesn't kill us. But all that energy does kick gigatons of water out of the oceans, creating water vapor in the air that in turn makes storms. These storms have to go somewhere, and since man is everywhere on the surface of the earth these days, somebody's going to be in the path of each storm. Nothing personal, that's just the way it is. Funny though, even I have to admit the storms are acts of God in a way. Since I define God as the ground of reality, what made the universe and is the universe, it means that everything that happens is an act of God. Even when he, she, it throws dice. Even when she, he, it arrives in the form of cross repairmen. So, is God a vindictive king, a praise junkie that we must fear? No, it's more like God is a musical instrument, the harp of all possibilities. Yes. It's the ultimate symphony and cacophony all at the same time. Listen to the notes. I should print that out with a little larger typeface next time. That, I wrote a version of it some years ago. Yeah, but it is a real story from, you know, better than 40 years ago.
I remember when I said, you know, God doesn't play dice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a down to the topic.
What was your question again?
So one of the lines, the sanctimonious edge, divine retribution, based that was happening.
Yeah, well, Pat Robertson and all his friends just love to talk like that because that's what the Old Testament was always saying.
The Southeast, man, they all talk like that.
They certainly do.
I might not be good enough to do this.